This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
We continue our series where we're looking at the woman in the Bible. Last week, we started it off looking at the story and the life and the ministry of Rahab. So much that we were able to look at and learn from the life of Rahab. And then on Tuesday, we looked at the life of Delilah. And I know many of us may be thinking, Delilah, Khosi, you are taking a turn that I did not see coming. She was not in my book of powerful women in the Bible, or the seven women to learn from in the scripture. She was not in that book. But you know what? Some good lessons definitely learned from the life and the story of Delilah last week, Tuesday. The podcasts are up on our website, impactradio.co.za. Be sure to check it out. But today we continue that journey, and we're looking at the story of a woman that has called herself a mother. She saw herself in responding to what was happening around her, and she called herself the mother of Israel, the mother of Zion. And we're talking about the life and the story of Deborah. Now, you may be saying, well, Khosi, I don't know so much about Deborah. I know she's listed. She's in my book. She's in the book of the, you know how they make these Bibles and they say Bible for women, and it's got the stories highlighted of the women of the Bible. She's definitely listed there because her life is definitely something that we can learn a lot about. And maybe let me start off by painting the picture before we get into her life. What's happening in the book of Judges, where she comes in, is there is quite a number of things happening at that point in time in scripture. In actual fact, the Israelites were in a point in time where they were just in, how can I say, they were acting outside of the word of God, and they were finding themselves really distant to God, where they were going through these ebbs and flows, this constant on and off of, okay, Lord, we're so sorry, and the Lord delivers them, sends them a judge, and then they're fine for about 40 years, and then they're in rebellion, and then they're losing, and then the Canaanites and all the other ites are beating them for a number of years, and then they go back to God, and the cycle was continuing over and over and over again. So this is what happened in this case. It was exactly that. Israel's troubles were entirely the result of their own sin and idol worship, and which God sought to correct, and they were seeking God to correct them. And so began the cycle of rebellion, loss of freedom, oppression, repentance and restoration that we read about in the book of Judges, because Deborah came into the picture, and she was a judge that God had placed there. One of two judges that was a judge and a prophet, her and Samuel. Samuel was the last judge who was also a prophet, and Deborah is the only female who's listed among the judges. Now she comes into the picture on the back of Israel being in absolute turmoil, turning from God, losing wars, and they trying to go back to God saying, please save us from all that we're going through. But her response on the back of where Israel finds itself, man, that is where we find some beautiful lessons. This is all kind of based on the song that she wrote of what she went through in Judges chapter number 5, when she had to step in and at that point in time, her decision and her reaction and the choices she made really, really led to Israel being victorious. And here's what happens. There's a couple of things that happen. We see in this particular story where Deborah is the judge of the time. She's a prophetess at the same time. She's a wife of Lapidoth and was judging Israel at that point in history. Now, what happened is Barak was one of the guys that was going to Deborah in light of the war that was happening. So what happened in Judges chapter number 4 is that in verse 5, she used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill. This is speaking about Deborah, that is. And she goes on to say, she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinom, from Kedesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Now, this sounds great, and everything sounds great and fine, and we can see there's an instruction. It's nothing new that we haven't seen in scripture, of an instruction to say, hey, go out and do this, where a prophet comes in and tells a person saying, hey, go and fight these people, take these many people, and see how the Lord will deliver you from that place. Two things that really stand out for me in this response. The first one is what Barak says in response, saying, if you will go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. It reminds you a little bit of Moses, where he says, Lord, if you don't go with me, I will go nowhere. Outside of going with you, I will go nowhere. And surely he says this to Deborah, and she says, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you're going to lead is not to your glory, but for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So we see them going into this war. 10,000 men go up to the hills, and Deborah goes with Barak, and this war is about to happen. But something takes a complete different turn in that moment. Before we get to that turn, there's something that I find to be so powerful in this moment in the story, is Deborah's awareness of what God is saying to her to do in that point in time. In actual fact, in Judges chapter number 5, as she writes the song of what happened in them winning this war, in verse number 12, she says, "Then down to the gates march the people of the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, break out in a song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, O son of Abinadab." And then it goes on to speak about her response. And she speaks about this response in awareness of what God is doing, can do, will do for the Israelites to take them out of this place where they've been stuck and being defeated because of their sin, because of their wrongdoing. But because of the obedience of Deborah, we see how a generation is saved, a generation that follows from there. In actual fact, she speaks about herself in verse 7, saying, "I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel." She sees this place of ownership and seeing that, hey, I've got a role to play, and I will rise up and be able to stand firm on what the Lord is leading me to do as a mother to Israel, as a mother in Israel, as a mother of Zion. She says, "I will arise." The villages cease in Israel. They cease to be until I rose. And I think to myself so many times when I look at the story of Deborah, and I think, how many times are we aware of the now work of God and being on beat and obedient to the now work of God and the now word of God? And I say this because Deborah had been a judge for a while. She's a prophetess, and she's been working in leading the army so many different times. But the question is, how many times do we settle for what we've experienced God do and who we know God to have been, that we lean more in that and miss the now word of God and what the Lord is telling us to do right now? And friend, maybe this is a point where we can pause as the first thing that we can be able to look at and consider and reflect on. Is how often do we actually pause and say, "Lord, what are you saying to me now?" How often do we go and say, "Lord, what is something that you're leading me and my family to today on the 12th of August? We live in a life and a culture that's constantly focused on where to next, what are you doing next, what are you building next, what is the Lord leading to you in future, etc., etc., etc. But the question comes in, how many of us are willing to pause to hear the now word of God, to hear what God is saying to you here and now and today? Dear friend, I think there's such a power in being able to say, "Lord, help me to be able to pause and to be able to be led by you again. Help me to be able to wait and say, Lord, help me to be able to hear you. Let me be able to wait. Let me be able to pause and wait on what it is that you're saying to me right now." What's the scripture in Isaiah that says, "They that wait on the Lord," the ability to be able to say, "Lord, I'm going to pause all the things of what I think it should be. And I'd rather say, you know what, Lord, I will rather wait to hear what it is that you're leading me to." Friend, may the first lesson that we're able to see from the life of Deborah be something that cautions us to be able to say, "Lord, help me to be able to say, I want to wait on what you're saying to me today. Not rely on some revelation from wherever or some other thing from whatever some other person said or something that I read online, but to hear, Lord, what are you saying to me today?" Even if it includes the responsibility to wait and listen. In Judges chapter number 5, at the end of it, it says, "And then there was rest in Israel for 40 years. All because she took the decision to be able to stand firm on what the Lord was leading her to. Even if it was like, we're not certain if this is where we need to go, we're not certain if this is how we ought to go, but we see the power of being able to be obedient to God, to the now word of God. And I say that so importantly and keep highlighting that repetitively. And I think that's the thing about it, is that it requires us to be in a space where we're in constant communion with God. Because in order for us to be able to hear this now word of God, We need to be in a space where we're constantly with God and listening and leaning into God to be able to hear His now word. And I think that's the first element to say, friend, may we be a people that are constantly saying, Lord, I want to be found constantly at you, cupping my ear to hear what you want to say to me, what you want to say to me about what I should be doing next, what I should not be doing, where I should be going, where I should not be going, because my ear is cupped to that which you say. But the second thing that we see that's very important for me, at least, that really is highlighted in the story of Deborah, right off the bat of what happens in Judges chapter number 4, we get to Judges number 5 and we see her writing the song. This psalm, this song of praise of where she's been and what God has brought her through. This moment of pausing and saying, man, oh man, truly the Lord has brought me through some amazing things. Truly I can be able to see the hand of God and being able to bring gratitude of and praise following this victory that we've received to God. I mean, following their victory over Sisera and the Canaanites, Deborah and Barak did what Israel had failed to do since the days of Joshua, which is to bring all the glory, all the honor and all the praise back to the Lord, as what we see in Judges 5. And like most things in life, we see, like most things that we sometimes do, we fail to immediately bring praise to God, because the moment we get into a place of gratitude, there's something that shifts in our heart that we realize that, hey, this is not me. This is really not my doing. I'm great, but I'm really not that great. I really don't have that much control. Gratitude to God makes us realize that, hey, truly this must be the Lord, and it keeps our eyes on God and keeps us leaning and relying on God for the next thing. In this way, complacency and this idea of self-adoration, if I could say, has been momentarily overcome by the leadership of Deborah and Barak. This idea of them looking towards themselves had been overcome by Deborah's decision to say, hey, we're going to praise God. We've received victory and immediately we're going to praise God. They recognized that no matter what they or their army had done, God deserved the credit. God is the one that brought them that victory. And if anything, I pray that as we look into the life of Deborah, one, we are a people that are willing to be obedient to the now word of God and constantly listening to God to hear His now word. But also secondly, that we are a people that are quick to say, from what God has done, immediately we bring Him gratitude and praise. I think it would be wise of us as believers today to imitate this behavior that we see from the life of Deborah and Barak. Not waste time, not waste anything or second of time in giving credit and praise to the Lord when it's due to Him, when it's due to Him and Him alone. That we might be a people to say, Lord, I see what you've done right now. I give you praise. That we don't allow that room for the enemy to come into our minds into thinking that we've done it. That we're constantly aware that it is by God and God alone. That in that gratitude, it makes us to be able to lean into God and realizing that we need to rely on God for even our next victory. And I think that is part of the reason why Israel experienced another 40 years of rest, because they listened to the now word of God and were obedient to it. But also secondly, they were in a space where they were willing to praise God immediately off of that victory. And I don't know about you, I need to reflect in my own life and look, Lord, are there areas where I'm holding back and I'm not listening out to your now word, and I'm leaning into what is the pastor saying? What is my life group leader saying? And not hearing what you're saying to me now, maybe I'm saying, Lord, help me to be able to look to you even when you bring me through a victory, that I can bring praise and adoration and all that gratitude back to you.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.